please just use the message to meet the needs of your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for that. Let me just say before I get into the message, I don't know if you know what it means to a pastor when you come. I want to tell you what it means to this pastor when you come to church. This has nothing to do with the message, but I just feel compelled to say this to you. Early today, I started getting messages from family after family after family after family that says, we're sick. We're not going to be able to be here. We've got this. We're concerned about this RSV. We don't want to expose ourselves, And over 35 people contacted me this morning to say they weren't going to be in church today. Now, I got to be honest with you, as a pastor, that I promise you, I will never stand behind this pulpit if I'm not convinced that God has a message that will help people. I promise you, if I ever come to church and I don't feel like God has given me a message that will be helpful to somebody, I will get up and say, I'm not going to preach today because I don't have that. I never stand here unless I feel the way. So when there are so many people that let me know we're not going to be there, can I be human for a minute? That's really hard. It's really hard. I pray for every single one of you. I pray for your health, and I pray for your spiritual health, and I beg God to let me, to use me to be a help to you, and then when people aren't here. So then my humanity takes over, and I'm down a little bit, and I'm here at 8 o'clock and walking around and wondering if anybody's going to show up. And when you all start coming in, it just absolutely lifts my spirits. And it reminds me that you are the reason that I live. You're the reason that God has me alive, and I want you to know I love you so much, and I do want to be a help today. So I've begged God to give me a message to help you today, and that's what I think He's done that. And if I don't mess this up, I think you're going to get some help today. All right. So now I know you're a little warm, and we've turned the fans on because it does get hot in here once all the bodies get in here. But bear with me. All right. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 18. Of Romans chapter 12. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. We have a wonderfully interesting word here in verse number 8, and it's that word possible. This is one of those times where I am a firm believer that the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. If you really want to understand what the Bible says, just read other passages of Scripture that deal with the topic, and it will explain itself. But there are some times where a little bit of deeper study, that's what I'm called to do, is a little bit deeper study and bring something out that's not on the surface. And such is the case with this word possible. This word possible actually it doesn't mean what the way we use it in our modern English. It doesn't mean can something happen. The word possible is actually the Greek word dynatos. Now, if you hear that, it immediately you remember that concept of dynamite. It's the same kind of word. In fact, it's the same word that's used when we see the word dunamis, which is the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite. It's found in Acts chapter number 1, verse 7, for instance, where God said that it's not for us to know the times or the seasons that God hath put into His own power. That word power is the same word. It's the same it's the same root word as the word possible here. So this word possible here doesn't mean possible the way we think of it. It's talking about the word power. It's the same word as virtue. When the Bible says that Jesus, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, and he perceived that virtue went out of him, or power went out of him. So watch if this. So in this text, when it says if it be possible, he's not saying can it happen. He's saying if it be powerful, if there's power there. So it's clarified by the next phrase. Would you notice, continuing in verse number 18, he said, if it be powerful, or if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. So the phrase, as much as lieth in you, clarifies the power part. In other words, he's saying, how much power you have, or how much peace you can have in among you, is determined by how much power there is lying within you, or how much of something is lying within you. Some of you look a little concerned. Is there something wrong with the screen, or are you just all looking up there? I'm trying to read faces. It looks like some are concerned about something. Okay, don't distract me. You know I have no attention span. If you don't behave, I just get all messed up and I start over. All right, so if it be possible then, here's the point then. The degree of power then is dependent upon what lies inside of you. The peace that you can have on the outside, the peace without, the peace among ourselves in our relationships, husbands and wives, the peace that you have in between the two of you, the peace that you have with your family, the peace that we have with one another is going to be dependent upon something that how much of something lies within us. And I'll get to that here in just a little bit, what he's talking about that is supposed to be lying within us. See, now God tells us what those things are to be, but let me first illustrate. So bear with me now, a little science primer. I'm going to take you back to high school science. I know. Don't worry, there's no grades given out this time and there's no labs. So watch. You remember there is an indescribable amount of energy in our universe. But almost all of that energy is contained in the very tiniest of places. Most of the energy of our universe is contained within the nucleus of every atom. And now, have I lost anybody so far? Y'all remember the word nucleus, right? Okay. So, yeah, protons and neutrons. All right, so watch. So in the nucleus of every atom, there are protons, which are positively charged particles, and there are neutrons, which have no charge. But those are held together by something that is called the strong nuclear force. Now, I know some of you think, why are you doing this? Just give us the message. I am. Bear with me. It's called the strong nuclear force. It's the most powerful force in the universe. And it's where most of the power of the universe resides because it keeps that atom together. It keeps that nucleus together. Now, those of you who are old enough to remember the World War II days, all the talk was about splitting the atom. You see, the big thing then was they were working on some way to split the atom. Why? Because when you split the atom and you break apart that incredible power located within the nucleus of that atom, you unleash incredible amounts of power, incredible amounts of deadly power, destruction, power that could be used to cause great damage. It's very much like what happens inside of us. See, inside of every one of us is a lot of power. Inside of every one of us is the potential to lash out, to hurt with our words, with our relationships, to hurt one another with the things we say, and to hurt one another with the things we do, and to hurt the world with the things we do. But here's the key then. With atoms, the stronger the force within that nucleus, the harder it is to break it. The stronger the power within that nucleus, the harder it is to break that force and unleash that power. And the same thing happens within each one of us. And that's really what Paul is saying. He said, if it be possible, how? Where is the power? If it be powerful, as much as lieth in you. He said, the more you have of something that is powerful lying within you, the harder it's going to be for Satan to break that and cause destruction in your relationships. Husbands and wives, parents and children, friendships, whatever the relationship is, he's saying what's really at issue is not whatever the circumstances are that's going on around you, causing you to have fights and bickering and hardness and bitterness. He said the problem is there's something that's missing on the inside of you that's holding you together. And the more of that you get on the inside of you, the harder it's going to be for that to unleash itself and not have peace around you. So you want to have peace around you? I'm going to tell you what God tells us today about how to have that power inside of us. So that's what Paul was saying in verse number 18. He said, if it be powerful, the key is how much is lying within you. So the question this morning isn't, is it possible to stop fighting? Listen, every family, please hear me. The question is not, is it possible to stop fighting? It is possible to stop fighting. It's not an issue of, can we get along? You can get along. It's not an issue of, can I get along at work with my coworkers? No, you can. But the question is, how much of what is supposed to be inside of you is in there? The more of what is supposed to be inside that's there, the harder it is for that to be broken and for that to come out. And so let me give you this morning, I'm going to give you the three things that I believe that God tells us. In fact, God tells us very clearly three things that are supposed to be inside of us, three things that put power inside of us. Number one, He's saying, is the Word of God inside of you? The Word of God. Take your Bible, please, and go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Or you can watch the screen. Colossians chapter number 3. We'll put it up here. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I said, number one, what is supposed to be inside of us? What will keep us from lashing out at one another? What will keep the what will allow us to be able to have peace among one another? It's something that's supposed to be lying inside of us. And the first thing is the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3. Notice verse number 16, please. Verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He said, I want you to have the words of Jesus inside of you. Can I just ask you right off the bat here, how much of God's Word is inside of you? I mean, I know it's a rhetorical question, but you're all just staring at me. No, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. You want to know why we fight among ourselves? There's not enough of this inside of us. I'm going to prove it to you. That's the problem. The problem is not that your wife doesn't do the things you want her to do. The problem is not that your husband doesn't do the things you want him to do. The problem is not that your children don't behave the way that they should. The problem is not that you've got friendship problems and your boss is a jerk and all these other things. The problem is we don't have enough of that right there inside of us. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you. But I'm just telling you that's what the problem is. So let's take a look at the rest of that verse. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now watch, teaching and admonishing one another. Wait, he said teaching and admonishing one another. Can you imagine in the middle of an argument between husbands and wives, how much do you want to be taught? Husbands, you're in an argument with your wife. How much are you willing to let her teach you in that moment? Probably not much, unless you've got a bunch of this inside of you. Because that's what he just said. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you do, then even when you're teaching and admonishing one another, then you can do that. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you get the meaning there? He said, listen, if you've got enough of that Word in you, even when your spouse or your friends or your teacher or your preacher or your parent or whatever it is admonishes you or teaches you, it'll be like music to your ears. Yeah, I know. Kaylin's the only one brave enough to giggle, sort of a, I don't believe that, sort of a, yeah, whatever, kind of a giggle. That's what he said, though. That's what he said. He said, even when you're being corrected, if you've got enough of that Word right there in you, even when you're being corrected, even when you're being taught by somebody, even when you're being admonished by somebody, it'll be like music to your ears. That's pretty powerful, huh? I mean, if that's inside of us, it would be pretty powerful for that to work in me. It'd be pretty powerful for when somebody's correcting me about something, for it to sound like music to my ears. But that's what he said. He said, spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, we quarrel, and we fight, and we argue because there's not enough of the Word of God in us. The Word of God dwells in us richly, then that means power is going to dwell in us richly, and we'll have peace on the outside. You go back to verse number 12. Let's look at the context here. Notice verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. You say, what does that mean, bowels of mercies? I really don't know. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to say, God, why did you use the word bowels so much? I'm going to have to study that out, but I haven't done that, so let's skip over that part. Bowels of mercies, kindness. He said, wait, you can show kindness. You can show kindness if you've got enough of this in your heart. If you've got enough of this inside, the power that comes from this, he said, that'll help you to show kindness and humbleness of mind. How important would that be in an argument? I said, how important would that be in an argument? Humbleness of mind, that'd be pretty important, wouldn't it? Have you ever known an argument to get settled with two proud people? Did you ever see a fight? You know how a fight has to end with two proud people? One of them can't get up. That's how it ends. You know, whether it's verbally or physically. That's not how a fight ought to end. That's not how an argument ought to go. There ought to rather be humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That means, do you know that forbearing one another means disagreeing with one another? It means disagreeing in a proper way. We can do that. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. So also do ye. See, these are all the things that he said. If the word of God dwells in you richly, you can do all these things, even when you're upset. Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You know, you don't have to have money, you don't have to have talent or intelligence or anything else. You just simply have to put this word of God inside of you. Did you know that that's free? Does everybody here have a Bible? I don't mean today, but do you own one? Does anybody not own a Bible? If you don't, see me, I'll give you one. It's free. You know, and he said, look, all you've got to do is put it inside of you. So how much are we? How much are we? How much for the Word of God? Can I just say, please understand, please hear me. In the spirit, I mean it. Sunday morning is not enough. If you want to have peace in your life, that means you have to have that power inside of you that comes from the Word of God being inside of us. And Sunday morning church is not enough. Did that just get bright? Okay, good. I was thinking it was me. Oh, it was that? I don't mean coming for me. I mean, I thought of my mind. Dun, da, da, da. It was, what was I talking about? Crud. I hate it when that happens, June. What? You're all talking at once. Stop. Sunday morning's not enough. Thank you. Sunday morning's not enough. Sunday morning, Wednesday night's not enough. Look, this is why I want to see some small group Bible studies get started. This is why I want to see some of you get together and talk about Scripture and talk about the Bible and do some Bible studies and mentor other people and get together. Listen, we can get together and do lots of things and you can have a lot of fun. I promise you, and I mean this, you think this sounds goofy and then you say that only because I'm a pastor. I think getting around talking about the Bible is as much fun as anything. I really do. I think it's as enjoyable as anything else I could do. And that's why I'd like to see that. But see, there needs to be more of that. But nothing will replace your personal time in that book right there. And that's the biggest problem, is we do not spend enough time putting this inside of us. The proverb says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." How much of this book are you hiding in your heart? How much? How much? More than the TV? More than the news? Look, I promise you this. You will never find peace in your life, in your heart, anywhere, if you put more of the news of this world in your mind than you do this book right here. I promise you that. We kind of tease around here because, you know, I don't teach tithing as a New Testament command, and I can prove that from Scripture, by the way, about our money. But I'll tell you something, giving only a tithe of your time to God's Word is a bad idea. But I would doubt that very many of us only give, I would doubt any of us touch even 10% of our time. 168 hours in a week? That's almost 17 hours spent in God's Word. How much better would our inside condition be if we put more of this, what God says is power, more powerful than anything else in the world, inside of us? Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the Bible says about itself. So my point is, now you say, okay, so you're saying that God says putting the Word of God inside of us puts that power within us, gives us that ability. As much of this is inside of me determines how much peace I'm going to have on the outside. Okay. A reasonable question then is, how does that work? So how does that work? How does just reading the Bible bring power into my life? Doesn't that sound like kind of like a cliche that we preachers use? Well, read your Bible more and pray more and all those things. Yes, that is something that we do. So you want to know how it works? I'm glad you asked. I will tell you. Point number two is there's something else supposed to be in there, and that's the Spirit of God. Not only is the Word of God supposed to be in us, so too is the Spirit of God. Go to Matthew chapter 10, please, or look up here if you would, Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 20. If you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 10. Now, while you're turning there, let me just remind you that the Bible says in several places, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in you?" All right, so you're all with me. The Holy Spirit of God is supposed to dwell in us also, right? We all have that. When you got saved, the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got the Holy Spirit. But how much of Him, excuse me, I ran out of breath. How much of Him, you teach me how to breathe, Paul. How much of Him, don't make fun of me. How much of Him we give access to depends on us. He's there. The potential's there. That's the other word. That word possible also means potential. See, how much of Him we allow to have reign in our lives is up to us. We're still dealing with the same type of question. Not does He live in us, but how much? So how do we know if we're allowing the great potential of the Holy Spirit of God to lie within us and to be active in our lives? Look at Matthew chapter 10. I'll show you a good litmus test. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Can I give you a pretty good indicator of how much of the Holy Spirit has control of our lives? When you're in an argument, how much does He say? How much does He say? When I'm talking to my wife, how much of it is the Holy Spirit speaking and how much of it is I speaking? You know, when we're talking to people who upset us or people who we don't get along with very well, how much of it is Him speaking through them and how much of it is this person speaking? That's what He's talking about here. You say, well, I'm like that most of the time. You know, I'm pretty kind most of the time. And I speak kindly to people when they speak kindly to me. Okay, can I take you to the context of this passage? What was Jesus really talking about? Go back, please, to verse number 16, if you would. Let's see what the context is. Let's see if Jesus says, well, it's okay. As long as you speak kindly to people when they speak kindly to you, well, then we're all good. Well, that's not what He's going to say. Look at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. I'm kind of thinking that He's not giving us a free pass here, saying, well, as long as people are being good to you, you just be good to them. You talk nicely to them. No, He said, no, the Holy Spirit needs to speak through you, especially when somebody's trying to hurt you, especially when you're in an argument, especially when things aren't going particularly well. That's where you know how much of the Holy Spirit is in you, how much of the Word of God is in you that the Holy Spirit can use and speak to those around you. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Watch, when you and I are in an argument, when you and I are in a confrontation, when you and I are involved with somebody who's not necessarily being the best to us, God says, those are the opportunities where you're supposed to be a testimony for me. And you're a testimony for me when you let the Holy Spirit speak instead of you speaking. But the Holy Spirit will only say whatever you put in. This is how it works. Okay, how many of you have ever had, you've been in a conversation about the Bible and somebody was questioning you about something and you came up with a verse that you didn't even know you knew? Raise your hand. You know where that came from? That became, you put it in and He had it to use. But He doesn't have it to use if we don't put it in. See, God is saying, as much as, if it's possible, if it's powerful, as much as lieth in you, how much of God's Word have you put inside of you, and how much are you allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that out, especially in times of an argument, especially in times of difficulty? You know, we can find out our testimony is not made in good times, folks. Our testimony to the world is made in hard times, bad times. When can you separate yourself from the world? Do you know that there's a lot of really, really good people who do a lot of really, really good deeds, and they're not Christians? Okay, are you with me? We all recognize that, right? Thank you, June. High five. Thank you. I know where I can go to get support. Listen, there are really good people in the world. There are lost people who are good people. You know what I mean by that? They're good people, doing great works and being very kind to people. I had a conversation this week. It's been a very interesting week. I've actually had two homosexuals come see me this week, and I've had one lady who's heavily involved in Wicca come see me this week. Most preachers don't get that. And they're all here. No, I'm just kidding. Now listen. And I've had, both of them have said, you know what? here's what I see in the world. I see that there are a lot of people who don't believe like you believe that are much nicer to me than a lot of people who believe like you believe. And you know what I said? I said, well, what do you know? You're a witch. No, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry about that. I said, you're right. You're right. You know what that person's really saying? If you really believe like you say you believe, you're supposed to be different, and the time that shows up is when things aren't so good. The time you prove what you really believe is when somebody is not being so kind to you. Even the world is kind to people who are kind to it. Even the unsaved people who don't have the love of God inside of them know to be nice to people who are being nice to them. Look, you will rarely, out in this world, you will rarely open a door for somebody that does not say thank you. And that has nothing to do with whether or not they're saved. Nothing to do with whether or not they're a Christian. That's common courtesy. You know, and so if we're going to stand out, it's not going to be in times of normal times. It's going to be times when there are difficulties arise. You husbands, you will show your wife how much of a Christian you are, not during most of the time, but when there's an issue, and you remain calm, and you remain kind. And wives, same for you. And children, same for you. Give it to them, Scott. You hear that? Now, I'm glad he's passionate back there. Uh-oh. You don't scare me. That's when we show our Christianity. How much of the Word of God is inside of us? How much of the Spirit of God is inside of us? You know, let me show you. The biggest reason that we have very little peace among men is that we don't put the Word of God in us so the Spirit of God can speak. Let me read for you John chapter 14 and verse number 26. Just very quickly, Jesus said this. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That's where Jesus said, whatever you put in, if you will read it, the Holy Spirit can bring it out at the time when it's needed. If you'll memorize it, the Holy Spirit can bring it out at the time that it's needed. If you'll study it and meditate on it and you'll try to bring it into your life, whatever we bring in, the Holy Spirit will use it for you. You know, I love Teddy. I hope you don't mind this. Teddy is a huge encouragement. Teddy and Cammie are just encouraging people. If you haven't gotten to know them, you should. You're missing out if you don't know them. But they've been so good to me because they come up to me and they've said several times to me, boy, you know, just when we had this question and we were wondering, we were talking about something, and that's what God had you preach that Sunday. And that encouraged me. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bringing something out at the right time for somebody. And He wants to do that in all of us. But if we don't read this, and we don't study it, and we don't come to church, and we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has to get it inside of us, then He's got nothing to work with. You know, you ladies, when we have Bible studies, I hope you'll take advantage of those. You know, you young people, I'd love for you all to get together and have Bible discussion. Look, we can talk about it. I'm thinking about doing a group, a study group. Online about things like ancient aliens and all those kind of things. Look, there's some fascinating stuff in the Bible. You like that? That'd be cool. There's some amazing stuff in the Bible. So get together and get the Word of God inside of you and the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. So I ask you again, how much of God's Word is in you? How much of God's... Let me just be pointed. Let me pick at you a little bit then. How much of the Word of God did you put in you this week? How much? How much? If a situation comes up today, you know, I've heard from many couples, Sunday is a bad day for you, fighting-wise. I don't know why. And oftentimes leave here and go home and fight about whatever I preached. Can I just say, don't ever, look, I am not a baseball bat. And don't use my messages like a baseball bat and beat each other with it. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit do that. He's good at it. But if you leave here today and you've got a situation that comes up, you've got an argument that comes up in a family, in a relationship, in a friendship, in at work, whatever it is, are you armed? Correction, that's wrong. Is the Holy Spirit armed? Does He have something to work with based on what you put in this week? Yes, I know you came to church, and I thank you for that. I really do. And I'm not making light of the people who were sick or didn't have, you know, bona fide reasons for not being here today. And nor do I want ever to be a pressure place. You know that. But it's important to be in church, and it's important. But it's important to get this word into you, so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. The reason we fight is because there's not enough of that book in us. Period. Period. That's it. If you're fighting, how much have you been in God's word? Number three and last, I got to hurry now. So you say, okay, so I've got to get the word of God in me. Then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. But what exactly does he do with it besides bring that to my mind? Number three, that's where he makes sure that within us, as much as lieth in us, is found the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and last. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I want you to notice the church at Corinth is no longer a carnal church. Paul is writing to a group of people that used to be very carnal. They had all kinds of problems in 1 Corinthians he wrote to them about. Now they're growing. He said, now you're ready to go to the next level. Now you're ready to get rid of some of that carnality in your lives for good. You're ready to get rid of some of that fighting. You're ready to get rid of some of that conflict within you and some of that conflict among each other. So what are you ready to do now? Watch verse number 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 6. He said, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, watch, the same grace also. What's he talking about? Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Here's what he was, he was talking about money here, but the principle's this. He said, look, in all the other things you've got to get, when you're putting all these good pieces together in your life, he said, make sure that you abound in this grace. What does that mean? It means we're abounding in the knowledge and the understanding of how good God has been to us. How good God's been to me. He said, you need to abound in grace. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes? So, that means when somebody's hurting us, he said, look, where your sin was concerned, your sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. You got plenty left over. Offer it to them. I gave you more grace to your life than your sin required to be forgiven. Now you use that extra and you give that to somebody else. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. Stop arguing. Spouses, stop fighting over stuff. Give grace instead. Oh, wait, you can only do that if you have the Word of God enough, if there's enough of this inside of you, and the Holy Spirit has access to it and can remind you, hey, by the way, did you know you're forgiven? Well, my wife is going to have to make some changes before I forgive her. What changes did you have to make before he forgave you? That's called grace. It's called grace. Well, my husband's going to have to make these changes in his behavior. He's going to have to stop the way he talks to me. He's going to have to make these changes before I will be nice to him. Really? How many changes did you have to make before Jesus was nice to you? That's called grace. Well, my parents had better be better people if they want me to respect them. Is that the same message that you're going to have for your kids? Is that the same message that that Jesus gave to you? Did Jesus say you had to become a better person before he would offer you grace? No, the point is, if we have enough of this in us, listen, everything I read in here hurts me. Not to take that the right way. There's wonderful encouragement in here, but I can't read this without finding something wrong with myself. Thank you, Tom. Wait, were you talking about you or me? Look, I can't read anything in here without finding something where I'm wrong. And he doesn't hold it against me. It's called grace. So the more of this I put in there, the more of this I see that I'm wrong, and the less I really have to worry about how much she's wrong or you're wrong or my friends are wrong. The only one I really have to worry about is Mark Valentine. That's because that's really bad. Listen. He said, if you get enough of the Word of God in you, the Holy Spirit of God will show you how much grace you've received. And he'll bring all that back to your memory. And he'll teach you. And you won't fight like you are. So is it possible? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. The potential is there as much as lieth in me. The power is in the Word of God. It's not in self-control. Self-control, that's a wonderful thing to work on, but that is not going to stop your fighting. That's not going to stop your anger. Self-control, changing behaviors, is not going to change your attitude about your spouse or your children or your parents or your cousins or your preacher or whoever. But what will change that is how much of God's Word we put inside of us and then say, Holy Spirit, show me anything you want to show me. Show me anything you want to show me. And what He's going to show you is going to make whatever you're fighting about seem kind of minor. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Father, thank you for this time we've had to study your word. Lord, I pray, please, that you'd help us to have a great desire. Put within us a desire to know you and to bring your word into our hearts. And Holy Spirit, help us to yield to you so that you can use that to teach us constantly, especially at times of conflict, especially at times of discord. Lord, I pray that you'd do it, please. Help us to be good to each other as you are to us. May the grace of God abound in our lives. If our heads still bowed, our eyes